that amazing tragedy and the way that that changed our lives, the way that that just had such an impact on all sorts of things that have happened since then. And I just want us to remember that God continues to work despite of circumstances, that out of those things, out of tragedy, out of disaster, always comes new life with God. And I don't think it's a coincidence that in this church, even on a day like today, where most of you wouldn't have been affected personally perhaps by that, but it certainly changed our lives and we all carried something as a result of what's happened by that. But isn't it fantastic to celebrate new life? Isn't it fantastic to celebrate the fact that God is still working in people, that God is not finished working in people, and God still has a plan for his church, he still has a plan for this world, and he's still going to do amazing things. So let's be encouraged, certainly remember and pray for people as they're certainly going to, it's going to be a very raw day for, you know, for thousands of people, or perhaps millions of people. So let's remember them in our prayers, let's be open to that. But let's also remember that we've got the God who continues to do new things, and he continues to move among us. And out of disaster, he's got an amazing way of bringing life. So that's really, really exciting. So we start a new series this morning. Actually, we probably started it last week, actually. But we had Father's Day, and we sort of had it all woven into that. But we're starting a series, and what it's called, it's a series on building God connections. A series on building God connections. And in this world, connection is a word that's often talked about a lot, isn't it? You know, if you're in sales, if you're in sales, you've got to have connections, haven't you? You've got to know people. You've got to be able to get out there. You've got to be able to get your message out. You've got to be able to network, you know, all those things that get talked about in sales and that area. And then, of course, there are people that want to be socially connected, people that want to be connected to the right people that want to be invited to the right parties, people that want to hang around with the right people, want to have those sort of connections. And then, I guess the last 10 years, you know, we've seen the whole social networking thing just go gangbusters through the roof. And you know, we can have thousands of Facebook friends, and we can be connected here, there, and everywhere. We can have people following us on Twitter. We can have LinkedIn connections. You know, it can all be going on. But sometimes we can feel like maybe I'm a bit over-connected. Maybe I'd just like to, you know, unplug the broadband and be a bit less connected. Has anybody ever felt like that? You know, like I'm over-connected. In fact, I am so over-connection that I don't want to hear that word in my life. You know, I don't want to be connected. You know, some of you are thinking, well, you know, I'm my own man. I don't necessarily need anybody. I'm pretty self-made. I'm pretty self-sufficient. You know, I can do things myself. You know, I've got it here. I don't need any more connection. I don't need any more connection. You know, I'm a pretty resilient sort of character. I'm all right. And this morning, I'm actually going to tell you why you need connection, why you need godly connection in your life. And open your Bibles to 2 Samuel 23. And we recently did a series that we called Everyday Heroes. And the theme of that was that most people don't want to be average. Most people don't want to be average. Isn't it interesting that in life, a lot of us want to be normal? No one wants to be said, you know, called abnormal. Has anybody been called abnormal? You know, you're not normal. You don't want to be called that, do you? It doesn't sort of go down that well. But at the same time, do you want to be called average? You know, what's, you know, a bloke sort of gone out and he's talking to his mates. He said, oh, I've got this new girlfriend, you know, and how is she? And he says to his mates, oh, well, she's average. I mean, girls, would you like that? Would you like your man to be describing you as average? Or you go to a restaurant and, you know, you're in there and somebody says, well, how was the experience? And you say, average. You know, average means actually not that good, doesn't it? And there are some other words like that. I found out through my experience of being married for 20 years, there's some other words that sort of mean average. Like when Alex comes out with a new outfit and she says, "How does it look?" and you say, "Good." That means average. That means, you know what? I've been told that that doesn't tell me anything. And blokes, you know from there, it's a pretty slippery slide. Yeah. Doesn't matter what you say, just say beautiful and say it with conviction. But nobody wants to be just average, do they? It's interesting. A lot of us would perhaps be happy if our IQ was, you know, average or above, you know. That'd probably be all right for me. You know, Dave's got an average or above IQ. Or our physical condition, you know, is average or above, you know, we can get with that. But if someone says, "Well, you know, how's your physical condition, Pete? You know, is it above or below average?" You know, you're happy to be above average or around there and thereabouts. But no one wants to be below average, do they? You don't want to be described as being below average. And the reason is I don't think that you were created to be average. I don't think you were created to live an average life. I don't think you were created to be just like that. You see, the Bible says, and this was the theme of our series on Everyday Heroes, it says, "I tell you the truth that anyone who believes in me will do the same works that I do and even greater." That means that when we come into the kingdom of God, when we get connection with Jesus Christ, that we were not created to be average. We were not created just to be here filling up the numbers. We were not created just to fill in time. We were created to do what Jesus did and even greater. You know, do you believe that? Do you believe that your life can be above average? That your life can be a life where you're not just here filling in the numbers. You're not just waiting till your turn comes around to join the nursing home and you know, whatever comes after that. You're not here for that. You are actually here to live an above average life. You're here to make a difference. And Jesus paints a picture and he says, anyone that chooses to follow him will do these things and even greater. And that's what Cindy has demonstrated this morning by saying, "I want to be fully immersed in God's purpose and God's future for me through baptism." She's saying, "I don't want to just live an average life. I want to live out all the purposes that God has for me and the future that he has in store for me." See, that's what Everyday Heroes was all about. Some days will be hard. Some days are not that exciting. Who had a boring day last week? There's been a few of those around. But you see, they come and they go. But life in the entirety is not meant to be average. It is not meant to be average. You know why? Because you matter. Because you matter. There's not a single person in this place this morning that doesn't matter. And I know, I could guarantee, in a building this size, with the amount of people that we've got here this morning, there will be somebody here feeling like, "I don't matter. I don't matter very much. I don't matter." You know, the Bible says, you absolutely matter. Come back to 2 Samuel 23, and we're going to look at 14 to 16. It says this, it says, David was staying in the stronghold at the time, and a Philistine detachment had occupied the town of Bethlehem. David remarked longingly to his men, "Oh, how I would love some of that good water from the well by the gate in Bethlehem." So, listen to this. So the three, this is three of his great soldiers. So the three broke through the Philistine lines, and they drew some water by the well at the gate in Bethlehem, and they brought it back to David. Now, these guys were out-and-out heroes. These guys were, as I said last week, they were like the SAS. They were like the Navy SEALs. These were the guys that were willing to take a risk. These were the guys that were willing to actually get on the other side of the enemy lines and bring something back. Why did they do that? They did that because their leader said, almost in jest, "Wow. You know, it's breaking my heart to see my hometown under the control of the enemies. And just how much How good would it be just to be able to get a drink of water from my favourite well down there? And it was all that it took for a seed to be planted and these guys to say, we're going to make a difference. We're going to do something amazing here. And they tear down there, they break through the enemy lines and they get water. You know, it's a very brazen, courageous act, and they get the water out of the well and they get back and they give it to David. Amazing heroes. But these guys... And we talked about this last week. They went from being in trouble. They went from being in debt. They went from being discontent. They went from being bankrupts. They went from being misfits. They went from being rebels. As we read in 1 Samuel 22 and 2, it says, then others began coming, men who were in trouble, who were in debt, who were just discontented, until David was the captain of about 400 men. They went from being that to becoming loyal, skilled, courageous heroes who didn't just live out their days, but made a difference and were part of building an amazing kingdom. That they were part of actually Israel being as powerful as ever it's been, being the world power almost in that area at the time. These guys went from being bankrupts, they went from being discontent, they went from being rebels, they went from being in trouble to guys that were part of an amazing future. How did that happen? How did that go on? You know, I relate to those guys. Not so much the hero bit, but I've been broke. I've been in trouble. I haven't always been able to fit in. I've been discontent. Have I got any friends here? Has anybody been in some of those positions? They went from being like that to being connected with David, who was their leader and future king, and they became connected to each other, and they became connected to David's future, and they became connected to an amazing purpose because they chose to put themselves in a position where they could be connected to something that was greater than them, where they could experience a divine or God connection. This morning I want to talk to you about divine or God connections. You see, connections are built and galvanized in a time of war, aren't they? You get a platoon of guys together, or a unit of guys together, and they perhaps come from different backgrounds and different parts of a nation, and you put them in a war zone, you put them in extreme circumstances, and there is something that galvanizes. Has anybody watched Band of Brothers? Has anybody seen what happens when a group of guys are taken from all their different backgrounds and they are placed in extreme circumstances? You see, in those times, those connections are actually galvanized. And that's actually what happened with these guys with David. Through extreme circumstances, through trouble, through challenges, but still having a purpose that was greater than them, there was a connection that was galvanized. And I want to encourage you this morning. You might be in that space. You might be feeling like I'm in trouble. You might be feeling like I'm in debt. You might be feeling like I feel rebellious. You might be feeling like I'm discontent. You might be feeling frustrated. You see, if you get connected during that time, if you get connected to the purposes of God and you get connected to other people, there can be a galvanization that happens in that time that will see you through life. And we've got to build those sort of connections. We've got to look for those sort of connections. You see, where there is meaningful connection, ordinary people can do extraordinary things. You see, average guys, just like you and I, when they're put in those times of extreme circumstances in war and all sorts of other challenges, do extraordinary things. They don't necessarily do extraordinary things while they're sitting in the pub having a beer with their mates. They don't necessarily do extraordinary things while they're just sort of wandering around Salamanca on a Saturday morning. There's nothing wrong with those things. But it is actually through having a purpose, being placed in a situation where there's a challenge in front of you, that there's a galvanization that happens, and ordinary people do extraordinary things. You see, we want our church, we want the atmosphere of our church to be real, welcoming, and life-changing, but we want it to be full of people who are committed to connecting people to God and each other. Yeah. And sometimes people come into a church community and the first thing they see is people, don't they? You don't come in here and you know, you look there and you come through the door at the front, and you shake the guy meeting you on the door and say, look, out of the way, I want to come up the front here and I want to meet God. You know, get everyone else out of the way. I want to meet the big fella. I want to meet God. Now, as silly as that sounds, you come into this place and you can meet God and you can have just as meaningful a connection. But the first thing that happens is you meet people and you are connected with people. You see, as a church, our responsibility is actually connect people with people and people with God. That's why connection is absolutely so important. Why do I need to be connected? See, the connection I'm talking about is being connected to God and people. Why do I need to have those sort of connections? Why do I need to have a divine God connection? Why should I be connected? Why should I look for God connections? Well, if you're taking notes, number one is because you matter. You absolutely matter. Oh, you know, don't worry about little old me. I'll be right. You know, you guys just get on with it and I'll just sit here and, you know. Have you ever felt like that? You know, everyone else is having all the fun and they're out there and you're feeling a bit sorry for yourself and little old me doesn't really matter at all and I'm just going to withdraw back and I'm going to let all them over there and I'll just, you know. Have you felt like that? Most of you haven't, okay. I'm not normal. I'm not average. You know what the Bible says? It says in Psalm 139, 13 and 14, it says, it's talking about God. It says, you made all my delicate inner body parts. You knit them together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. In other words, there is not one single person in this place this morning that doesn't matter. That you matter. God created you on purpose. God created you like you are for a reason. God didn't make a mistake. God created you with a future. Now I'm going to read you another verse. I've been criticized from time to time for reading this verse too often. But I'm going to read it again this morning. And it's Jeremiah 29:11. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a hope and give you a future." You know why? You know why sometimes people are challenged by such a positive verse? Because positivity challenges negativity. In other words, when you're wanting to be little old me, just sort of sitting over here and saying, "Don't worry about me, you guys just get on with it," that you don't want a verse that says, "God has got a purpose and a plan and a future for your life, and you actually need to," I'm not talking about becoming, some sort of, you know, exuberant out there person if that's not your personality, but what God's saying is you matter too much to stay in that place, and I need you connected with people, and I need you connected with me. And that's what God is saying in that. That's why that verse is incredibly important. You were created for much more than living a disconnected average life. Some of you might have had trouble building meaningful connection. And I think the heart of the problem is that so often we don't think we're worth it. We don't think anyone's going to want to care. We don't want to think anyone's going to take any notice. First truth is God cares. And the second truth is people actually do care. People care more than you think they care. Sometimes we make mistakes. Sometimes we're awkward. Sometimes we don't know what to say. Sometimes we say the wrong thing. Sometimes we say nothing because we don't know what we're going to say. But people care more than you think they care. And you know, my experience has been the longer I've perhaps been in positions where I've often had to say something in difficult circumstances, where someone has gone through extreme loss or there's a circumstance which is really horrible. You're better to acknowledge it. You're better to actually say something than nothing and actually let people know that you care. You see, that builds connection. So why should I be connected? Why should I look for God connections? Number two, when ordinary people have God connections, ordinary people do extraordinary things. When ordinary people have God connections, ordinary people do extraordinary things. See, if you want your life to count for something, and there's really not many people that don't want their life to count for something. I mean, I've been out there working with guys and, you know, in that sort of very bravado of the, you know, the real blokey, hairy-chested thing, you know, people say, you know, "I don't care, as long as I can get my pay each week and get enough beer and whatever else, I'll be right." But you actually start to get below the surface and people do absolutely care. People want their life to make a difference. People don't want to just fill in the time. People don't want to fill in the numbers. And you know, I suggest that if you want that, that you need to find a divine or a God connection. A divine or a God connection, to be connected to God and people. And Peter and John in Acts 3:13, and it says this. It says, the members of the council were amazed when they saw their boldness. Peter and John, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they weren't ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. These are two very ordinary guys. If you go back to the beginning of Matthew, you find that Jesus starts to walk along the shores of Galilee, and he actually starts to call his disciples. And we've got these fishermen there, and you've got one group, and you know you've got Peter, and you've got his brother Andrew, and then over here you've got James and John, you know, the sons of Zebedee. You've got these guys in their different little small businesses, and they're just doing life. It'd be like sort of, you know, walking through Main Road Glenorchy or walking down into one of those industrial estates, and you've got all these little sheds set up there, and you've got people doing their business. You've got people doing the things that happen, and Jesus starts to walk through, and he starts to see people in their day-to-day life. He starts to see people doing their business, and he actually looks into their world and he says, I've got a purpose even bigger than what you're doing now. Why don't you come and follow me? Yeah. And out of that, you know, we've got Peter and his brother Andrew. They follow Jesus. We've got James and John and the sons of Zebedee, and they follow Jesus, and they go on this exciting journey of 3 years having their world turned upside down. And then Jesus is hung on a cross and he's crucified, and he's no longer physically with them. And then you've got these two guys, Peter and John. Tells me that perhaps before that they were rival fishermen. Tells me that they were fishing out of the same lake, probably trying to sell their fish into the same market. It appears that they probably knew one another, but we don't know whether they had any sort of connection or relationship. We don't know whether they even liked one another. But what we do know is that 3 years on after being with Jesus, there is a connection that's galvanized. There is something that means ordinary guys, fishermen, start to do extraordinary things. And here we've got two guys together, connected. They go up to the temple and they go there to pray. And another time they're on their way to the temple and they meet a beggar who's blind and he wants money. And they say, we haven't got money, but what we're going to do is we're going to pray for you. They pray for the guy and he's suddenly healed. Actually, I don't think he was blind. He just couldn't walk. And suddenly he's healed and he's running around and he's jumping everywhere and all that sort of stuff is going on. And then, you know, the church is planted in Jerusalem. 3,000 people are added to the church in one day. Churches are planted all over the place. It is ordinary guys with a God connection. Did you know that ordinary people with a God connection, God can do amazing things in your life if we have ordinary people with a God connection? See, God multiplies our efforts through God connections. Deuteronomy 32:30 says, how could one person chase 1,000 of them and two people put 10,000 to flight? Did you know that through God connections, we find that he takes the parts and makes the sum of the parts much more powerful than the individual parts? And you know, in a physics sense, perhaps that's called synergy. It's called when you actually bring two things together and you actually get, you know, you get more energy output than you do from the sum of the individual parts. You actually get something more. But in the kingdom of God, it's not proportional. It's actually exponential. You see, God wants to do exponential things through God connections. He doesn't want to just have, you know, Pete and Grant together and Grant can do this and Pete can do that and you know, Grant can do this much, Pete can do this much, you put them together and he can do this much. You know, the way that God works is he takes this much and he does this much. Because of God connections, divine connections, God can work through that. We've got to make sure that we decide that we're going to be part of God connections. Together as a church, the body of Christ can make a huge difference. You know, a church here, I look out this morning and I've got incredible friends and relationships and connections through this local church and through the body of Christ at large. People that I just wouldn't have met otherwise. I've got people I look out here this morning that we've done the good times and we've done the bad times. We've been through the depths and we've seen God do amazing things together. And we're still on the journey because God has actually brought about divine connection that has meant that our lives together have made a difference and they've encouraged one another and God has used that. And then there are other people here that I've only just met more recently and God is still doing an amazing connection. Like Stewie, who I go cycling with. I only met Stewie at the beginning of this year when he came to this church. But we're going cycling every week now. We're having a ball and we're enjoying that relationship because God is about connecting people. God is actually about divine connections. Together as a church, we can make a huge difference when we're connected. See, that's why we do life groups. That's why we have smaller groups in our church, because it's cool. Actually, you guys, I want to encourage you. You guys actually connect. We connect really well on Sundays. After this service finishes, there'll be coffee and there'll be stuff going on out there and there'll be a great atmosphere and people are talking to one another and that's exactly how it should be. But you know what? I think we can actually improve the level of connection we have, not to just go around and say, oh, we're really connected, aren't we? It's that the more that we are connected, the more that actually God does divine connections among us, the more that He's actually going to use us to impact this community. The more that He can use us out there. Did you know, like we see the same thing with Scripture Union and chaplaincy. Because churches are able to connect, we're able to join together around a cause and we're able to see chaplains in schools that are able to speak a hope and a future into young people right across this state and across this nation. And God uses divine connection to do those things. You see, that's why it's so important that we're connected. So I want to encourage you, if you're not in a life group, join one. If you can't find one, start one. Just come and talk to us about that. Or even if you think, well, gee, I'm not a theologian. I can't sit down. Good. I can't sit down and teach, all sorts of amazing truths out of the Scripture. But I tell you what, you can pray for somebody. You can open the Bible. You can read a verse and you can ask a question. You can go bike riding with somebody. You can go motorbike riding with someone. You can take some girls out for coffee. Whatever it is, let's make sure that we're connected. Why am I? Yeah, go Dan. Where's Jed? Jed normally joins in on that. Let's make sure that we build connections. You see, the Bible actually says, it says this. It says, how will the world, in other words, those that are not part of the church, those that have not yet got a connection and a relationship with God, it says, how will they know those that follow me? Will they know them by their amazing acts of charity? Well, the church has done that incredibly well over the years. I mean, it's had some criticism, but did you know that most of the agencies that are making an incredible difference are faith-based organisations, mostly coming out somewhere along the line from churches? We do all those things. We help people. We do all sorts of things. But the Bible actually says it is the way that they love each other that you will know that they are my disciples. In other words, what it's saying is that if we want to be effective as a church community, it's got to be that connection that initially we have with each other, those that have been placed in our world, that out of that grows a capacity for those divine connections for ordinary people to do extraordinary things in the community because of our divine connections. So let's make sure we do everything that we can to build those divine connections. If you see someone that's disconnected, you can connect them. It actually isn't that hard. Come around to my place, have a coffee, tell me a little bit about your world, and suddenly there's a connection started to develop because there's trust and all those things that go on there. Be her freedom. Last year we had Be Her Dignity. We had everyday girls, not average girls, everyday girls, doing what they could to make a difference. And I think last year they raised about $15,000 for facial reconstructions in Africa. And could they have done that by themselves? Could one girl have done that all on her own? No way. You see, they've got a connection to God and they've got a connection to each other. God gives vision, God gives purpose, God gives direction, and each other they give encouragement and they inspire each other, and together they can make an incredible difference. And, you know, we've got Be Her Freedom coming up, which is all about seeing girls released from slavery. And we'll talk about this as it goes on, but did you know that there are more people than ever before in the 21st century that are actually in slavery than the height of it when we go back and we saw the transportation from Africa, you know, into the US and all that stuff? There are more people in slavery today than ever before. There are girls that are caught up in the sex industry that are there as slaves. And yeah, it's a big problem, but we can actually see ordinary people banding together through connection with God and each other to make a difference. That's just an example of what happens when we have real connection. You know, together, the church, the body of Christ, can make a huge difference. Let's not underestimate the connections that God brings into your world. And I'm not talking about those connections I talked about earlier. You know, oh, I need to be connected. I need to be in that social group. I need to get connected with that person. You know, that's just all about you climbing up the ladder. The connections that God's talking about is a connection that we're connected to God and we're connected to each other, and together we're going to live out His purposes for our life and we're going to make a difference. That's what a God connection is. See, I just praise God for the amazing opportunities that I've had in my life. And it's come out of God connections. I've seen all sorts of things across the world as we as a church have been involved in all sorts of mission work. We've had opportunities to do things in this city and across the state and in other places. And it's nothing to do with me being anything. It's just to do with the people that I'm connected with and the God that I'm connected with. You see, you can do so much more when you're together, when you're connected with the right people, when you have those God connections in your life than you can ever achieve by yourself. Number three, why should I be connected? Why should I have God connections? There's power in God connections. And back to Acts again, it says, one day these men were worshipping the Lord and they were fasting, and the Holy Spirit said, like we did this morning with Pete, dedicate Barnabas and Saul for the special work which I've called them. So after more fasting and prayer, they laid hands on these men and they sent them on their way. So Barnabas and Saul went out by the power of the Holy Spirit. They went down to the seaport of Seleucia and they sailed for the island of Cyprus. And from there, church after church after church was birthed because God got in people's lives and there was a divine connection and they went out together. Interestingly enough, you read later on that Paul and Barnabas had a separation, if you like. They had a disconnection. And you don't actually read any more about Barnabas. You don't read a lot more about Barnabas after that. He didn't probably do anything bad, and he continued, I guess, to serve God. But it was actually out of that God-ordained connection that God used him in a mighty way. We've got to make sure that we keep those connections together. I start to think about some of the people I've been connected in. I've got people sitting here on the front row this morning. I've got, like, Sam. I can remember when we moved to Hobart, and Sam was this young guy, and, you know, he had his guitar, and he was just all keen to worship, and he was excited about life, and he was excited about the kingdom. And I remember he and his brothers, they used to come round to my place in Lena Valley at 7 o'clock in the morning, and we'd start to pray. We'd start to pray for God to move and do things in this city, and we'd be believing, and out of that we saw things like Energizer Night start to happen that eventually grew into an Energizer Conference and when Kev got hold of it, and all sorts of things that went on out of divine connections. And whatever it is, 15, 20 years on, there is actually still a God-divine connection there, a relationship. We've got Grant sitting on the front row. And I remember Grant and I, we were working in a team together out at Risdonvale, and we were doing outreach out there, and we used to get 100 kids in the hall out there going absolutely burko, and it was totally out of control. And eventually we saw about 15 or 20 kids give their heart to Jesus, and that was, you know, that was a season, that was a time. Those things don't necessarily go on forever, but you see, a God connection means that people continue to work together, and God can actually do more with us together than He can do with us individually. As a church, we've just planted another service in the Derwent Valley, and it's gone from basically just an idea to people praying up there every single week that we want to see an alive, vibrant church in the Derwent Valley, to now that we've got 50 people in church most Sundays in the Derwent Valley. That has happened, you know, through connection. We could have given someone a cut lunch and an overhead projector and a few bucks and sent them up the road and said, see how you go. Or we can be connected. And we can say, out of the connection, out of the relationship, out of the partnership, out of what we do together as a church, we can see a sustainable, vibrant, alive church actually happen in the Derwent Valley. You see, that is the power of connection. I could go on and on. That's just a couple of ideas that sprung to mind really quickly. You know, together, we're better together. So as I finish, the band want to join me, please. Why should I be connected? Why should I look for God connections? Number four, it shows good judgment to build God connections. Did you know that the Bible says this? And I've actually been so challenged by this verse. It says, in Proverbs 18, verse 1, it says, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire and he rages against all wise judgment. Did you know when things go wrong, when you're angry, when you feel disconnected, when you feel let down, you often want to be isolated, don't you? You want to go away in your own company. You want to justify your position. You want to actually get yourself in a position where you can actually rage against all wise judgment. And maybe that's okay for a little while. But the wise man actually realizes that if we isolate ourselves, we continue to rage against all wise judgment, and we find ourselves disconnected. You know, that means that it's plain, straight, outright stupid not to build connection with God and people. It says that you actually rage against wisdom when you isolate yourself. You know, the devil understands that. He understands that divine connections have results. Why on earth does he do everything he can to see people disconnected? Why does he make sure that somebody walks into a church service? Somebody gives them an innocent look, and you go away thinking, she doesn't like me. She thinks my dress is terrible. She thinks I've got no clothes sense. In fact, she thinks she's better than me. When really all she was doing was just giving a look. Mightn't have meant anything. But the devil will want to get in your ear, and he'll want to plant all those sorts of seeds. And why does he want to do that? Because next time you want to come to church, next time you want to go to life group, next time you want to go around to somebody's house for coffee, he wants to say, you don't matter. You're not worthy. You shouldn't be in that place. You don't need to come back there. And they don't like you anyway. So why does he want to do that? So he can get you disconnected. Because there is power in God connections. There is power in divine connections. The Holy Spirit works through divine connections, and he does not want you to have any part of that. So let's not buy the lie. Let's not take on that stuff and find ourselves disconnected. God connections bring extraordinary blessing. Did you know that disconnection brings extraordinary devastation? We can all think of people that have perhaps been part of our world at some stage, and something has happened, something has gone wrong, and there is disconnection. And where somebody should have been living in life, somebody should have been living in blessing, they find themselves living in devastation because of disconnection. That's what the enemy's trying to do. He's trying to disconnect people. Mother Teresa said this. She said, the most terrible poverty is loneliness and being unloved. And that is so true. I've met people in what you and I would consider incredible poverty, where what they have is absolutely nothing. They don't live in a house, or they live in a house smaller than your bathroom, and they have virtually nothing. And you walk into their world, and their eyes light up, and they tell you the exciting things that are going on. They tell you what God has been doing in their world. They tell you the future that they have, and it's absolutely not about what they have. Poverty is not about what you have. Poverty is about what's going on in here. And you know, loneliness is a much greater poverty than running out of money. You can always get more money. Someone will help you out. I'm not trying to trivialize stuff that's really real. But what I'm saying is if you've got no friends, if you haven't got anybody on the journey with you, that is a poverty that is much, much greater and much, much deeper than running out of money or running out of resource for time. Some of those things are seasonal. But you know what God is wanting to do here this morning? He's wanting to bring about connections that are lifelong connections. First of all, he's wanting to connect you with himself through Jesus Christ. And that is an eternal connection. That is a connection that can never be taken away. That is a connection that the Bible says that if we choose to, there is nothing that can get in the way of that. There is nothing. The Bible said there is nothing that can pluck you out of the hand of God. Nothing whatsoever. That is an eternal connection. And that is the most important thing, the most important question we can ask ourselves. Do we have an eternal connection? See, when David was on the run, when he was hiding in the cave, he's connecting this group of ordinary men that end up achieving extraordinary things. And it says this, it says, first his brothers joined him. In other words, his brothers, you know, they represent those people that perhaps in a church scenario that understand what Jesus has done in their world, that are actually connected to Jesus, they're connected to the King. And it says after that, people started coming, men who were in trouble, men who were in debt, men who were rebellious, men who were discontent, men who were frustrated. And that actually represents the people that Jesus is reaching out to every single week. And he's actually bringing them into our world. He's bringing them into our life. He's bringing them into our church. He's bringing them across your path. And he wants to take those people. He wants to take those people from brokenness. He wants to take those people from discontent. He wants to take those people from spiritual bankruptcy. He wants to take them from emotional bankruptcy. And he wants to make them into extraordinary people because they're connected to God and they're connected to you. And Jesus says this in Matthew 11:28. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." That's the starting place for connection with God. That is the starting place for connection with God. It's not about trying hard. It's not about getting your stuff together. If I had to wait to get my stuff together to be right with God, I'd be still waiting, because I haven't got it together yet. But God says, Dave, he says, Grant, he says, Jared, he says, Bianca, He says, come to me, bring what you've got, bring your burdens, bring the things that are making you tired, bring the things that are making you feel disconnected and burnt out. And he says, bring them to me, bring them to my presence, and I will give you rest. He wasn't necessarily talking about laying down and having a long sleep. Maybe that is what you need, but that wasn't what he was talking about. You see, rest is actually peace. Rest is your heart and your soul and your mind finding peace, a peace that can never be taken away. Can we just bow our head, close our eyes just for a moment? This morning, if you know that you don't have that connection with God, you don't have that peace that I'm talking about right now, and you'd love to have that, you'd love to experience that, you'd love to open yourself up to God. Did you know that you can do that this morning? It's actually a courageous decision, but it's the most life-changing, inspired decision that you could ever make. And this morning, if you would just be able to say, Jesus, here I am. I haven't got it all together. In fact, I'm a bit broken in certain ways, and I've made some mistakes. But here I am. I just bring myself to you right as I am. And I ask that you would just come and you would fill me and you would make me new and you would connect me to God in heaven. through what you did. I thank you that you died on a cross, that you dealt with all the rubbish in my life. And I just want you to be here with me. And I'm going to choose to follow you for the rest of my life. Just while heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning, if anybody would like to make that decision, I'll lead you in a prayer. And the words are not that important, but what's going on in your heart is the important thing. Just while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if that's you, just give me a slip your hand up quickly. Say, Dave, that's me. That's me. I want to make that decision. I want to make that call this morning. I would like to know that rest. I would like to know that peace that can be found in Jesus Christ. If that's you, just give me a wave. Or maybe you've experienced that at some stage in your life, but you know that you're not in that place right now. This morning would be a great morning to come back and say, yeah, I want to experience that. If that's you, just give me a quick wave, just so I can pray with you while no one's looking around. Just say, that's me. It's me, Dave. I'd like to do that this morning. Praise God. Praise God. Just before I close, is there anybody else? Is there anybody else that needs to make that call? This is the most important decision that you can ever make. What you have for lunch might make a difference to your afternoon, but this decision now will make a difference to eternity, to the rest of your life. Just before I finish, is anybody else who would like to be in this prayer? Just give me a wave. That's me, Dave. That's me. All right. Praise God. We're going to pray together as decisions are being made here this morning. I'll pray, you all pray with me, and we're encouraging people here this morning. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you love me. I thank you that I matter so much that you died for me. Thank you for doing that. Even though I don't completely understand, I choose to accept it. I open my heart to you this morning. I ask you to come in. Fill me. Make me new. I'm sorry for going my own way. I thank you that you can forgive me. From now on, I choose to follow you all the days of my life. Amen. Well, praise God.